Guys, welcome in to Nuggets Europe. We have a packed house, full house tonight, as you can see, all of our usual suspects and special guests from across the pond. D-Line's in the house. D-Line, thank you so much for joining us.
Where else would I be, fellas? Where else would I ever be? Here I am.
So much to talk about. We are also joined by Brad. Brad, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me, as always.
Of course. A little bit of technical issues there coming from somewhere. The main man, Mr. Michael. Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm really tired, but it's a pleasure to be here, boys. Can I just, before I forget, can I just say a huge bonjour and ça va to everybody watching on Nuggets France, because they had kindly retweeted this. So ça va, très bien, merci.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ça va et toi?
Oui, and, oui.
And from Nuggets Serbia, Mr. Milan. Milan, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. Glad to be with you back again.
And, of course, last but no way least, everybody's favourite, Mr. Mislav. Mislav, the Ice Cave guy. How you doing?
Hello from the Ice Cave.
Oh, man, it's going to be a fun one. I don't know about you guys, but I'm on the beers. I think we just, after last night, what a game. What a game. And so much to kind of talk about, so many things to go over. But Eric, starting with yourself, man, general thoughts about last night and the difference between the Milwaukee game on Monday and the game against the Cavs last night.
I mean, I feel like the number one difference was the opponent. The Cavs are not a good basketball team. Like you could tell that they've already sort of resigned this season a little bit. It seems like, I don't know. I mean, I heard that they were good. Like I heard that Colin Sexton was going to be a problem, that he was going to cook Jamal Murray, that, I mean, he didn't even take any shots. He just like deferred every time he got an opportunity. I mean, that team is a mess. I don't even know what to make of them. So it was good to see the Nuggets get back in the W column. But I honestly don't know how much I can pull from that. Like from, a trends moving forward. Like it was great to see our main man Faku back on the second unit, like bringing some energy, bringing some life and some fire. And obviously, like we got like all of that delicious, delicious garbage time where we got to see Zeke Nnaji come out and do what we all thought he could do with that like beautiful jump shot of his. He just kept knocking him down. He didn't really do anything else except for shoot, but whatever. Got to see all these guys that you just want to see. RJ Hampton got some run. He's been getting run lately, but you know, he was having some real impact. Like just seeing his energy infused into the Nuggets, just like it just is, it's so heartening. So, you know, I don't know how much you can pull from last night. It was awesome, but
I mean, look, like Nuggets tend to play down to their opponents sometimes, and we've all got kind of used to that. So it was nice to see that a team below 500. And listen, there was the potential that we could have got down to 500 ourselves, and you know, we don't like being on 500. So good to stay above there. Brad, do you enjoy the game?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. It's always nice to beat someone quite badly. It seems to be a while since we've done it. So, yeah, that's always nice. I mean, it was great to break a three-game losing streak. I mean, that was just... And we won a third quarter, which is amazing. I can't remember last time we did that. I mean, if someone can tell me the stats on that, please. That's what we need. Miroslav here, isn't it? But no, it was great. I mean, Eric touched on it. It was nice. RJ getting a few more minutes again. I mean, the last prop game I fully watched was the Kings game, and he had a good run there, and he looked very bouncy in that. So now it's good to see him get out, and Nnaji's around, and we'll talk about him, I guess, in a minute more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the rookies came in, they did their thing. The one thing that really impressed me was the defense. The first half, I believe the Nuggets held Cleveland below 30% field goal percentage. I mean, that's incredible. I think they got up in the end to about 38-39%, but that's still incredible to hold a team to that amount, be it the Cavs or be it anyone else. Michael, what did you think of the defense?
Well, let me just first off say this. I am still surviving / trying to get better from Sunday night, okay? And over the last 2 weeks, the experience for me as a European Nuggets fan has been literally waking up and seeing Eric's Twitter. So, for example, last night seeing Sexton is not impressive. You know, it's always a good sign seeing that at 7:20 in the morning. And then seeing the Cavs are terrible. but just some good quality tweets. And there's nothing better than eating cereal in the morning and watching a replay of the winners or losers lounge in some cases. But man, the defense looked really good. Like last night, like I know there's not a lot you can take away, especially when there's a lot of garbage time. But I thought that last night was fantastic, because anytime you put up 133 points, it's a good thing. Like, especially for a team in Denver at the minute, believe me. Like, I mean, that is a very good thing. So, and like, I know it's not like the NBA Finals or anything like that there, but it's a good performance. And I think it's what the team needed last night. It was both a good offense and a good defensive performance as well. So, yeah, man, I thought it was good.
Yeah, oh, I mean, I think something that we really needed to do as well, just like establish the fact that we can play defense. This team can play defense. It's just when they decide to do that, you know. Milan, representing Jokic behind you, as always. What did you think of his contribution? I mean, look, we're used to seeing a certain standard from our God. How do you think he impacted the game?
You know, this is the first game maybe in last two of three seasons I didn't watch. I need to say that. So I rewatch it today. Well, of course, I watch the highlights and the stuff. This was the perfect Jokic game. You know, if you ask him the best possible game he has to play, this is the one. So, you know, 12 assists, 12 points, 5 rebounds. If he could score maybe 25, 30 more if he wanted to. But, you know, this is the best for the team and for the Joker. He rested. Team play great, and let's hope this trend continues.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing, as he develops into more and more of a leader, which we'll get onto a little bit later as well. He knows exactly when he needs to perform at certain levels, do certain things to help the team achieve what they want. And essentially, that's what Jokic wants more than anything. You know, his stat line doesn't really matter to him. You know, as you compare him to other superstars in the NBA, it doesn't seem to matter as much, as long as the team are getting the wins and he's playing the right type of basketball and influencing the game. Mislav, just to you, anything else that you particularly saw last night in the game that you enjoyed?
Well, I like that Malone finally gave the chance to the kids. I love the Zeke and RJ finally getting a shot. And I hope that will continue even when the Dozier and Gary Harris will be back to get some guard rotation. And for Zeke, well, I think Bol Bol is in a doghouse. Oh, man. And Hartenstein is... I love the nickname I heard on Twitter. His nickname is Foul Out Boy. So can't count much on that. And did you see Voya loves Nagy's shot. Like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope, why did we draft the three players if we're not going to play them? So I hope at least two of them will get a chance. And of course, I would love to see some Vlatko minutes, you know, just coming in Hulk style, like crashing somebody and getting up.
Hashtag where's Miroslav, boys? Like, where is Miroslav? Come on in.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, no, completely agree. You know, Nagy's stroke is just pure. It's, you know, to see him hit three in a row as well, to have that confidence after not playing so much in the beginning of the season and then coming in, hitting three on the trot, that's something, you know, he's going to take that confidence into the next game. We touched on it a bit, but Eric, to start with you, man, like Jokic as a leader, I feel like when he first came to Denver, he didn't necessarily seem like that was, you know, his thing. He wasn't a natural leader, but he's more and more over time kind of grown into that role as a leader. And we saw it. I mean, we all saw what happened with Michael Porter Jr. Against Milwaukee on Monday. We saw that Jokic was not happy. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I'm sure that there was, you know, some sort of, you know, chat between the two of them. The post-game comments, Michael Porter Jr. seemed to be all right. You know, he took it in his stride. How do you think Jokic has developed as a leader? And what did you see from that Cavs game last night, of him implementing that into that role?
Well, I mean, I think in life in general, like, the leader that you want is the reluctant leader, like the guy that doesn't necessarily want the power but has earned it and is undeniably transformed into the leader. I mean, Jokic's effect on the court is undeniable. I mean, any other player that plays with him at a certain point, I mean, like, how can you not listen to what this guy is telling you? I mean, he plays a game in such a way that it's just repeatable, it's cerebral, it's ultimately is designed to get everybody involved. It's not you know, it's not a self-serving game that he plays. And so, you know, a player like Michael Porter Jr. comes in, he's like the hot player his entire life. Everybody sort of like bows down to him. He, you know, he's in these showcases where he's just like shooting up against, you know, like lesser competition in high school. And, you know, you get to the NBA, it's obviously a very different game. And especially when you're playing with a player like Jokic, like it's a different style that he's ever played before. And so, you know, I mean, I love watching what Jokic has become. I love like seeing him sort of like realize like nobody else is playing this game the way that I can, and nobody is playing it the way that I do. And so it's my job to get everybody to sort of like understand and see the court like I am. And, you know, like, I guess I'm still quiet. Let me.
I didn't want to say this in the middle.
Like, there's like comments. I love watching it. I love seeing what he's turning into. It's amazing. Agree.
For sure. And I completely agree. I think, you know, he does what the team needs him to do. And, you know, MPJ is MPJ. You know, we all know he wants to find a shot. But there are times where, you know, he has to play Jokic ball because this is obviously Jokic's team.
Oh, without question.
For sure. And Brad, what did you think of Jokic's performance last night? And in more so to do with his leadership.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic just does everything so naturally. He looks like he's not even trying, but he is. He's just a god that just mows around the place doing what he likes to do, and no one can stop him. You just can't. There is not one person on a one-on-one that can get anywhere near him. He just cannot be stopped. When his mind's on it, there is no one out there in the NBA that will stop him. That's just how good he is. And he just doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I mean, as you can see from the MVP votes that go around, when you still get people talking about Embiid being the best, whatever it is, and he's just no good. He's the most overrated stud power I've ever seen in the NBA. I mean, he picks what he wants to play. It's just terrible. And it just drives me nuts, and I just can't be bothered to argue with people on Twitter about it anymore because it just does me in. But Jokic is just Jokic. He's just a different breed. He's just awesome.
Yeah. Michael, is there a single player in the NBA you'd want to trade Jokic for?
No, and if he was playing in Boston or LA, boys, there'd be a lot more hype about him. I think it's a disgrace that he's going under the radar. I also think it's a disgrace the lack of games that have been put on TV here for the Nuggets recently. Yeah, it was lovely on Saturday night. That was, I'm not going to lie, that was gorgeous. That was a good night. But, well, apart from the result. But, I mean, that was a whole different conversation. But there's no, like, I just don't understand. Like, again, if Jokic wasn't playing in Denver, I think if he was playing in a bigger market, I think there'd be more of a hype around it. But he shouldn't be sitting second in the stands at the minute. That guy at the minute, if the season ends for me, is MVP for me. But I loved last night how he really made more of an effort to get MPJ in the game, and it shows they're trying to gel together as well. Even if I am watching 45-minute highlights, it looked like that anyway. So the team looks good, but Jokic is becoming more and more of a leader. And like you're seeing all this talk online about, you know, good things and, well, good points and bad points with him and the team and stuff. I think that can only be a good thing. The man's balling out. Like, I mean, give him more time. I mean, we're not even at the business point of the season yet, so let's see what happens now in the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Milan, like, obviously with Jokic having Murray as his sidekick, with a Robin to his Batman, if you will, Jamal Murray's in a weird place right now. And Jokic is obviously the leader on that team, but I think Jokic also likes it when Murray is a leader. And we saw flashes of Murray being a team leader last night, you know, particularly one play when he tells Paul Millsap, get in that post. You've got a smaller man on you. I think he had Darius Garland on him. Get into the post and do something. Murray's in a strange place right now, and Jokic is taking the majority of the leadership of the team on his shoulders. How do you think he's faring with that, and what did you see last night?
Jamal giving me headache last week. The people on Serbia, on Nuggets Serbia, know that, and the people in this region of world know that really well. I don't know what's happening with him. If he is injured, which I hope he is, that will be good, because we know what the reason he's playing bad for his standards. He's playing bad. There is a lot of expectation for him, and he don't deliver it. If Jamal was, we don't need 50% from bubble, 40% bubble Murray is good Murray. and we still didn't get that. And if he had that, we would probably our record be now being much better, you know. So he need to step up, or he need to rest. There is no middle.
For sure.
And I think lots of people agree with me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And Mislav, your thoughts
on Murray or Jokic as a leader?
Well, both on kind of Murray where he is right
any
now.
Any of your thoughts? Anything you want.
Well, anything you want. I love how Jokic is a silent leader. I love how he never gives up. The best example of that is, let's say we are on a bad run, like we scored zero, they scored eight in a row, and Jokic is always there, like picking up the ball below the basket, taking it out and throwing the ball to the counterattack, or like just starting a new play, you know. And the other players don't often do that. When we get like bad calls, or we just have bad luck, most of the players, not just in the Nuggets organization, but also everywhere, they are just like, and they are dragging themselves, you know, to pick up the ball and to start a new attack. And Jokic doesn't care about that. Like, he doesn't care about the score. He just picks up the ball and, like, throws it, and somebody will be under the next basket and score it. So I love how he's showing by example. Like, he's just running and picking up the ball, and like, if you're not paying attention, you're gonna get hit in the head. And for Murray, well, I think we were speaking about that in the Serbian show. Murray sometimes thinks he is a better player than Jokic, and as a leader, I don't know. It's hard to say, because Jokic is not that vocal and Murray is more vocal. And I think in a few years, Murray could be like the secondary leader. You know, Jokic will lead by example and Murray will lead vocally.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing with Jokic, he passed up an open dunk last night to get the ball to MPJ for a three. And I mean, thank God that thing went in, right? Because can you... I don't think he would have gone off at him like he did against Milwaukee, but that brings me on to the next point. Michael Porter Jr. obviously had a bit of a redemption game, shot the ball much better than he did against Milwaukee. Eric, I've got this thought. Is MPJ becoming a bit of a Team X factor?
And what do you mean by that? Like, is he...
Well, what I mean by that is, I mean, he's now into a point where he's, you know, especially with the guys that we've got out, he's starting, he's taking a lot more shots. It seemed like against Milwaukee, a few other games recently, his shot hasn't been falling, he's not been playing great defense. Is that a big factor in why the team is playing badly? Is it an X factor? If he plays better in those games, do we win them?
It's tough. So the games we lost coincide exactly when Gary Harris went out. Like, we lost our defensive anchor on the starting lineup, and it caused a big shuffle in the lineup all throughout. The players that were playing well with each other on the bench suddenly got voiced into the starting lineup, and you had sort of just a general upheaval. But, I mean, that being said, yeah, if Michael Porter Jr. is knocking down the threes and just shots in general, like we know he's able to, of course. I mean, that adds points to the board. I mean, we didn't, you know, I don't know about the Milwaukee game. We sort of, I don't know if we really had much of a chance in that one without that defensive presence. But this entire season, we've been saying this since before the season started, like, this is the season of Michael Porter Jr. Like, if Nuggets are going to rise up to the next level that we all hope and pray that they're able to, it's going to be on the back of MPJ. Like, he is the next pillar in that, you know, that ascension. And without him reaching the level that we all know that he can, I mean, the Nuggets, they're not going to get over the Lakers. They're not, you know, we will have seen the peak of what the Nuggets are able to accomplish. Jokic can only do so much. And, I mean, it's like you said, Jamal Murray has been a shell of himself, which is funny because he's actually putting up career numbers for the regular season. It's just, unfortunately for Jamal Murray, he showed us his hand. He showed us how good he can actually be. And so now we all have this expectation, like, okay, man, like, we know you can do this. Now you got to do it. And he just, you know, like, every night exactly? Like, are you like, are his legs hurting again? Like, is he, like, is it his shoulder? Like, what's up here? He let us in a little bit. He said that, you know, he's not really being able to shoot on days, his days off. They're all being spent towards rehab. And so he doesn't feel like he's getting the shots up like he needs to. And you see it, like, he's just not hitting with the regularity that we saw, you know, last year. So it's just, I don't know. There's a myriad of factors. There always is in an NBA season. There's just so many players, and, you know, with only five players on the court at any given time, like, chemistry is always just such a volatile issue. You know, you change one player out, everything changes. The roles change, the expectations for all the other players change. So I really think it comes down to Gary Harris as far as this recent slide is concerned. But as far as reaching the next level, Michael Porter Jr., that is the X factor. There's no other answer.
Yeah, for sure. That third pillar is an absolutely great point. It's thinking, you know, coming into the season, you're dead right. It was just, is Michael Porter Jr. going to step up? I mean, I've seen lists where he's been predicted to be one of the most improved players, or on the list to be, you know, win that MIP award. But last night, do you know, the one thing that I noticed is he played better defense. And I always think with Michael Porter Jr., his defense is, it's not for a lack of trying,
right?
This guy gets, like, you know, he's got the effort, he's got the energy. He just gets lost so often on the defensive end. But he was active last night, a couple of good blocks, a couple of good, you know, getting in the passing lanes, getting active with his hands. Brad, what did you think of MPJ last night?
Yeah, well, what are we doing? We're comparing it to the previous three games or so? Because I mean, it's just, you can say it was a complete change, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, I think previously, when we came out of the bubble, we all looked at his defensive weakness. And then if I'm honest, I felt at the start of the regular season, he'd actually overworked on being solid in defense, and his offense had just gone to pot. He was taking stupid shots. He saw the smaller man in front of him was trying to take it on when there was people in better places that he could easily pass off to. Whereas I think last night was more of a complete all-rounder game for him, which is what we want from him, is to be the complete all-rounder. Because, I mean, if you look at, I mean, if he reached the full potential that he's got, he's a generational talent. I mean, he literally is the one of a kind. If he can reach that potential, but he's just got to get there. And I mean, he needs to. And he said last night at the end of the game, he is his biggest critic. And he just went out after the Milwaukee game and went straight out and worked harder. And that's all you can ask from him. I mean, you just have to keep working and working. And if he does that and listens to the coach and listens to Jokic, and the guys around him, you can definitely do it. It's just a case of he's just got to put his mind to it. That's the only thing that's going to let him down is his own mind. So.
Yeah, for sure.
My favorite, absolutely, just really quickly, my favorite part of this show so far is that the literally the largest human being maybe on planet Earth. Look at his tiny little head. He's like a wee little baby.
I'm not even close.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, yeah.
I have a rocking chair.
Look at that, just tiny.
Yeah.
He's getting chill, waiting for his next spot. So I can't not talk about Zeke and RJ, man. A couple of incredible dunks. We got the old Arizona Zeke Nagy pat the head. We got an incredible dunk from RJ Hampton, which was, you know, I didn't have any words at the time. I jumped out of my chair, and my girlfriend sitting next to me, I've snapped the iPad right out of the thing. It's flown across the room. She's sitting there, I'm like, what's going on? I mean, it was...
Brendan Vogt could not have been happier. One of his pre-season predictions was that RJ Hampton would catch a body in garbage time. What happened? Oh. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was a long garbage time as well, so he had some time to do it.
More of a garbage game, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. So Zeke, obviously with that beautiful stroke, hitting down a few threes. I think he finished with 14 or 15 points in the game. 14 points in the game. Great showing from him. RJ Hampton showing some great defensive skills as well as the offensive ability that we can all see. Michael, what did you see from the rookies?
While I'm on mute, because I need to be very careful what I'm saying. I'm going back to a couple of points here very quickly. D-Line's talking there about, you know, the best part of the show, obviously, being the main man, Ice Cube guy and stuff. For me, the best part of the show so far has been the comments. I think they're incredible. who is Flo Miroslav?
I've seen that pop up a lot.
Anyway, Like, I actually want to jump back on really quickly, if you don't mind, about the MPJ thing. Of course, actually think, absolutely. Well, and it sort of links into the whole situation there with RJ and Zeke as well. Like, the talent and the potential talent this Nuggets team has is worlds more better than other teams in Denver, Drew Lock, etc. So it's great to see that there's a bigger ceiling for certain players. I can see Eric's nodding, so he definitely agrees, and I'll say no more. But and like, look, man, Eric's spot on in terms of talking about Gary Harris, and like that's a considerable loss. So seeing Michael Porter Jr. get the next step and get better, hopefully he can continue these performances. Like last night, it's good to see him get like 19 or 22 points last night. But man, for me, seriously, last night, like that Hampton dunk, it would literally wake you up in the morning, because it woke me up whenever I watched it back this morning. It was absolutely unbelievable. But I believe that Malone says he's got the potential to be an elite defender, and that's something that we need in this team badly. So it could be a great pick. And it seems like 5 minutes ago, I was sitting watching the DNVR stream for the draft. That seems like that was like honestly one last week. But really quickly before I forget, Harrison Wind has a really good article. You're talking about MPJ a second ago. On MPJ's performance last night, it's really good. Check it out. Not an ad. Genuinely enjoyed it.
Yeah. Harrison Wind always coming up with gold.
Yeah, he's always good. Never misses a beat, that guy.
Yeah, no, he's a good follow. Absolutely. And Milan, same thing to you. So Nagy comes in, has a great game, really good energy. I think that what the guys on the DNBR show were talking about as well, he has such a great stretch four body, and I think something that the Nuggets are really lacking. If you know me, you know that I'm huge on Nagy. As soon as we drafted him, I've been really, really big on this guy. What do you think his role is going forward? Do you think he's done enough to cement a kind of even a consideration for a spot in the rotation?
I really hope so. If anything increase his chances, that will be the last night game. So he didn't get at all minutes. Garbage time, we're losing 20 or we're losing games. So he entered the game. Last night he played, and he played really good on defense too. Offensively, you know, that shot is miracle for Wright. You know, I enjoy every one of them. So I really hope he continue to play. Rotation, you know, there is Millsap. I don't know who he changed. Maybe Millsap, Green. You know, it will be hard, but he can work. And I hope he will continue to improve himself and earn more minutes in rotation. But I really hope he earn more minutes.
For sure. I mean, Mislav, what do you think? Like maybe some 5-4 with. With Jermichael Green and Zeke Nagy, maybe that little partnership there.
Wait, I have some other thoughts boiling in my head. I need to get them out. So I'm just remembering old Nuggets times. Do you know when we traded Nene Ilario? When Kenneth Faried started to hoop. Then we traded Ty Lawson after 3 DUIs, but when we got Moutier. And these youngsters, Hampton and Nagy, showing up in the garbage time and showing what they can do, are opening a door for a trade. I'm not giving any trade ideas. I'm just like thinking that Gary Harris and Paul Millsap are taking $30 million of the salary. And although, of course, we need both of them, but at some moment, I think that money could be used better, you know, if we can count on the rookies to step up, especially defensively, and RJ is already showing that. So that's what I have on my head about those two guys. But on MPJ, I'm comparing him to one old Nugget, also J.R. Smith. So
okay.
We should stop looking at MPJ as a third star, because the boy didn't have a chance to grow. Ever since he got into the league, okay, he had 1 year in the red shirt when he was not playing at all. And then when he started to play last season, he was already showing great potential, and the hopes just went up and up. He didn't have a chance for mistakes, you know, like when Marcus Howard entered the game a few games back and shoot 5 threes. Nobody blamed him because he's a youngster. Okay, let him shoot. And I think we need to give MPJ some more time. without the high expectations. So you're not a third star. You're just like J.R. Smith with offensive rebounding skills. You know, he doesn't make too much wise decisions, nor does J.R. Smith. He is great at shooting crazy triples. So is J.R. Smith, and he has highlight dunks. So let the boy be boy and hope for the best.
Well, yeah, that's a take. I like it. I like it.
Wise man, my man.
I mean, he's a wild card. That's what wild cards do. They will come in and shit the totally winnable game, but they will also dig you out of a hole where nobody expects them to. And I love it. That's what wild cards do, you know.
For sure, absolutely. And speaking of wild cards, on that note, Mislav, I'll hand over to you, my man.
Okay, I'm a wild card now. Ready? Are you ready for some segments from our Serbian show? We'll have
Hold on. This is all in Serbian. What's it called? This is sensational. Can I just say that is one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. I'm just putting it up.
Fast forward to the picture with drinks on it.
Jesus, boys. Europe's a very big place, boys. What's it called? Tell me what it's called in Serbian. Stop the Voja report, no?
No, not Voja report. Just go through all of them. I will tell you when to stop.
Okay.
Next. Next.
Next.
Next. Next.
This one.
Oh, okay. This one. Let's do this one. Oh, just show. No, okay.
Okay.
So this is the segment called Mislav. As you know, my name is Mislav. You know, it's not a drag queen name. It's my name, Mislav. Now, I will be giving out some takes, and then you guys, if you think my take is a miss, you say it's miss. If you love my take, you say love.
I see.
So let's go. This first one is, I want to hear Eric's opinion.
Okay.
He made a shirt with this. So my hot take is, it's time to skip some steps.
Ooh.
Is it me?
We got it represented. It's represented.
We don't skip.
In what step shall we skip? I need to know that.
I think we are not moving any steps. We are just standing or even going backwards. So I think it's time. So let's put it like this. We're trying to grow our team internally forever and ever. And it seems to never stop. Like, I think it's time before Jokic is 35. Let's do something. Like, maybe it's time to make a risky trade or something, you know, just stop internal development, because we cannot count on some younger players to provide this season and the next season. They need some time to grow. So maybe let's trade some young chips to get some player who can help us now win the title.
I believe this take is a miss, and I'll tell you why.
No.
Because I think the next step is a trade. I don't think that is skipping a step. Like, I think that you know, like you say, you build up your team to a certain point, and then, like the Warriors did when they took our beloved Andre Iguodala, you bring in some firepower. You use some of those chips exactly like you're saying. I think that is the next step. So we don't skip steps. We just continue on the path.
You twisted it just so you can keep selling shirts.
I know. Got my eyes on the bottom line, always.
Okay, Milan already answered on this. So, Benji, what do you think about this thing?
I love your point, Eric. I think it is the next step. But yeah, I'm stuck between. I think we do need to make a trade. Personally, I think we do. So I don't know whether or not it's a miss, or because I think it is the next step in the. I'm just stepping on your toes all over the place, aren't I, Eric? But
no, you're just making my point all the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's agreeing, just, no?
For sure. I think that's the next step. So
okay, I have a new step.
Hold on. I have like one thing to say, but can I just bump in very quickly?
Yeah.
I was sorry, Adam. This guy comes back after 3 weeks. Sorry, boys, but like seriously, I was gonna say love. And then Eric just made so much sense, so I'm going to say miss as well. But
miss.
the day a GM in that city has the cojones to make a trade, boys, is going to be a glorious day, whether it's for the Mammoth or the Broncos or the Nuggets. So hopefully the Nuggets can do it. Let's see what happens. Sorry, Mislav Al.
We made a trade. We gave.
Yeah, sure.
That made national news headlines in the UK. So I think we'll just go away from that.
Let's try to remember that Eric is not GM of the Nuggets. So maybe in the GM eyes, this is not the next step. So, but I hope it is. I hope you will be the next GM. I can. Why? Because I want you to hire me as your assistant GM.
Done.
We're all in, right?
Done.
Yeah, let's fuck up all the Denver teams, not just the Rockets. Okay, so I have a new step. I want you guys to comment on that. So let's remember the Warriors, how Mark Jackson built that team from nothing into something, but couldn't bring them over the hill called the championship.
Boy. Oh boy,
and then Kerr did it. So is Malone? I think maybe Malone is just the coach for developing teams. I don't think he is a championship team. The championship coach. What do you guys think?
Who are you asking?
I don't know, Eric.
So this has been the scuttlebutt around Malone for many years. Is he just the coach before the coach? I think this is a miss. I think he's a great coach. I watch Malone get better every single year. I've seen him improve on the level of strategy. Is Malone a perfect coach? No, he is not. But I ask you, who is a perfect coach in this league? Almost every coach has some sort of flaws.
Ty Lue
is the perfect coach?
Championship coach.
I just have seen Michael Malone grow this team from almost nothing to what we saw last year. And I don't know. I'm not ready to throw out the baby with the bathwater yet. I've just seen in the same way that Jokic has gotten better and better, so has Michael Malone. Spo, Nurse, I see you, Miroslav. I don't know. This has been a conversation about Michael Malone for a very long time. I have no idea. I would be very hesitant because I've seen what it looks like to bring in the next coach when you bring in a Brian Shaw. The players don't like it. Like everybody's disengaged. To me, it's like we have a good thing going, and I don't know why you would. I mean, again, though, I brought up the Warriors, so maybe I brought this on.
Yeah, Eric, I was going to say you've brought up Andre Iguodala and Brian Shaw in the same conversation.
It's so true. It's true. I mean, I don't know. I'm not there yet. I'm just a huge Michael Malone fan, so maybe my judgment is impaired. But I personally don't see it. But I don't know. Maybe I can be convinced.
So, Brad, what do you think? Can we go over the hill with Malone or no?
I'm over the hill with Malone. I like Malone. I don't want to get rid of him, to be honest.
I like him also. But
yeah, I know. I kind of almost understand what you're saying as well. And if there was a middle bar in here, I'd definitely be sitting on that fence for sure. But I'm not. I'm a miss, I'm afraid, Mr. Love. Mr.
You know what would be my perfect thing? I want him to stay as a head coach, but he needs to have a guy who will be there and he'll be just like, it's enough. Maybe Mutombo, you know. You know why? In the playoffs, he always needs at least 3 games to make some adjustments. Remember with Barton and Craig against the Spurs, I believe so. He needs to see his experiment drop too many times until he makes a change. Also, in these playoffs, we would maybe be done with Utah and Clippers in 5 games if he did the adjustments on time. So I just need Mutombo to be there behind Malone. Like,
No.
It's enough of that.
Eric, when we take over, can we make sure that's the first hire? Yeah, is that
Mutombo comes in? Yeah, this is a collaborative effort. Absolutely, by all means, man.
Michael and Milan, do you have some comments on this?
Look, not to quote High School Musical or Brexit. No. stick to the stuff, you know, stick to the status quo, keep Malone in, boys. You know, I've seen more than anybody else what happens when Brexit happens in Northern Ireland. Like, you know, we don't have food in the shelves. So, you know, like, we probably should have just stayed where we were and not done anything wrong. So, like, there's a European take, ironically. Like, look, I mean, seriously, consistency. Like, people talk in different sports, defense wins championships. Consistency wins championships. You need to be consistent. You can't go. I love Michael Malone. I am, like, look. He has a good relationship with those players, and I'm prepared to wait it out because, you know, the Nuggets are the best chance of a championship in Denver for a very long time. So I'm prepared to wait it out until I have no hair and my child is 7 or 8 years of age. So 10 years.
I will say miss also, at least for this season. I will stay with Malone.
I know what you think, Milan. Don't lie here.
No. I'm honest about this. I said at least one.
Okay, I'll buy that. Okay, the next question is: The Nuggets are the best G League team in the NBA. Like, we are building the whole Northwestern Division. Minnesota Timberwolves, Juancho Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, Portland, Nurkic, and okay, Carmelo also. And of course, Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert. People are saying the Nuggets don't have a G League team. Yes, we do. It's us.
Well,
is there a better G League team? No, Nuggets are the best G League team in the league. What do you say? Love or miss?
Oh man, that is I know what you're saying. I also know that we're better than all of those teams. So, you know, how much have we developed them? We're better than we're better than Portland. Minnesota.
Better than the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves are god awful. The only one in question is the Utah Jazz. We just beat the brakes off of them. So, I don't think we're that great of a developmental team. We're pretty well as. You're right, though. I mean, I think
we need a team.
I know. It would be nice if we had a G League team. It would be nice if we would trade outside of the division. I'm not I can't argue with any of these points. So maybe this is love. Maybe I love this take. I don't know.
He's got a love.
Oh my. And Brad, well, Benjamin, what do you think?
Do you know what? I'm gonna give you a love, and the only reason I'm gonna give you a love is because it made me laugh so much. It's a brilliant take. It's a brilliant take. You get a love from me. That's all.
Okay, this was just a joke take. Let's get to the serious stuff. Okay, so the next take is a fictional take. MPJ seems out of sync with the Nuggets. You know, he seems he's in his own world. And he's not one of the bros, you know. And I created a theoretical situation how MPJ will become a bro with Jokic and the others. So, listen to me. So, you know how Jokic always has problems with... actually, the other big men in the league have problems with Jokic. And especially those dirty trash talkers like the Marcus Cousins and Dwight Howard and players like that. Morris twins, I hate them all. And they're always like poking Jokic and like trash talking and trying to make him nervous. But you know, Nikola, he's not the guy who will react on that. You know, he just ignores it. So I need MPJ next time we play Dwight Howard in the Sixers. Howard will make fun of Jokic, like, you know, provoke him and stuff like that. Jokic will not reply, and then MPJ comes running from the bench and big slaps Howard, gets 5 games suspension, but becomes the best friends with Jokic, and he is now one of the homies. And then there is no more hate.
Wow!
What, so do you allow this take, or is it a miss? So Benji, you start.
I love every single bit of this.
Any disagreement or everybody? Well,
I just want to be clear. So you feel that the tall, skinny guy with chronic back problems on the Nuggets should be our enforcer.
Yes. He's
yes, I love it. Let's go.
Of course. You know, it's easy if you have a mountain to defend you, but when you have a guy who is like almost in a wheelchair, you know, if he does something wrong, you know how much he's sacrificing for you, Jokic, you know.
It means
it's
even
the
more.
Ultimate sacrifice.
Jokic would be like, wow, he literally risked the ability to walk to help me out against DeMarcus Cousins. That's a bro. I love it.
Yes.
That's a bro. That's definitely a bro, yeah.
And then no more selfishness, only team play.
Just like that. Wow. Yes, wow. I'm withdrawing my name to be the GM, and I'm submitting only yours. These are fantastic things.
Okay. So let's get to the serious stuff now, for real. If you've been active on Twitter recently, somebody tweeted to Eric, called him the nicest, something like the nicest guy ever. So
that was my brother.
Eric is the nicest guy ever. Like, he allows everybody for him to be the butt of every joke, but he doesn't care. He embraces it, you know. And that's why we love him, because he is funny. He can take a shot, and he has wisdom here somewhere. That's why he will be a GM. Okay. So, is Eric the nicest guy ever?
Can I go first?
Earth?
No.
Yes.
That's a
miss. Love it. No, I mean,
Dylan, what do I mean, say?
Yeah,
he got vote for me. Big one.
Yeah,
Michael.
Yep.
I mean. Yep. On the internet, absolutely. I mean, in person, we'll find out whenever Joe Biden lets us into the country. Let us into the country, man.
I want to go to your country. Yeah. I'm tired of my country. I want to go to Ireland. I want to go to Serbia. I want to go back to London. Enough with this American garbage.
There is a people around me when the games play say to me to be a little more quiet on Twitter, you know, because I can go on rampage. and the only people I send the message of my frustration is Eric when the game starts. So he will always get hard for me. So you know.
Okay, so I see Michael needs to go. His wife will probably kill him. So
she will. I've done far too much stuff in this room, and that sounds really bad. I've been in this room too much. Jesus,
okay, so yeah, there we go. The last question is this. It goes, do you know a little song? It goes like this. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons have all gone. So we had good times, but it's time to move on. Although it will break our hearts. So, guys, I ask you, to which Nuggets player you would say goodbye to you, my trusted friend? Like, we had good times, you helped us a lot, but to take the next step, it's time to say goodbye. So, Eric, you start.
I think there's one answer. We all know it. It's Paul Millsap. It's Dad Paul Millsap. He's performed admirably. He's given us everything that we've needed. He's been there. He was the biggest free agent signing in memory, maybe ever, for the Denver Nuggets. He's gotten over the hill just a little bit. He's not exactly the same player that we had when we first got him. Sometimes, like last night, when he is motivated, it's his birthday, he wants to put on a show, he can still do it. But if you're talking about day-to-day, it's got to be Paul Millsap. I hate to say it. Let me say that. I hate you.
And I know the way how to say it. Do you guys remember the movie The Hendersons and the Yeti guy? No, the Bigfoot and the Hendersons. You know how it ended? Like the old man was yelling at him, "Go! We don't need you anymore!" And he hit him because he wanted to stay with them, but he knew for Bigfoot to stay with them would not be good for his own health and stuff. I don't know. That's how we need to say goodbye to Millsap. Yes.
Can I just say, you know, obviously based upon your just your rendition at the start there, how many times have Croatia won the Eurovision? Because I presume a lot by the way that you're singing, it's lovely.
Only once in the 1990.
So it's all a political vote, though, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Well,
who's one of the most, Brad? Who's one of the most?
probably you guys. Yeah.
No, I'm just waiting for your singing
voice. Right. Your singing voice. You've never sung for us in any Nuggets talk ever. You know that, right?
I'll tell you what we'll do. In May, we'll make the DNVR bar put the Eurovision up.
Oh, God. It's on.
And Eric can sit and watch
it. So on.
And be like, what the is this?
Yeah, Eric, trust me, you don't
want
to. I want it. I want it all. Bring it on.
Who would you say goodbye from the Nuggets now? But with a heart, with a tear on your eye.
With a heavy heart.
With a heavy heart.
Who's it for?
Mike.
You.
Oh. Paul Millsap. I was surprised he came back, to be honest.
Yeah,
I don't want to say that, but I should. Like, the first time I went to the Pep Center, I got a signed ball from him, right? So I like the guy. I really like the guy. I don't know where the ball is, but I really like the guy. But I'm just really, like, yeah, like, it's time. It is. Like, but sure, it's grand. Like, I mean, the season's a bit of fun at the minute. He'll probably be on at the end of the year. Yeah, Paul Millsap, 100%. Yeah.
Brett.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think there is the only one answer, isn't there? I think everyone's going to say the same. I mean,
come on, stop copying, Eric. You have your own opinion, guys. Don't fucking pressure.
But it's kind of, I mean, like, if Barton and Gary Harris sort of went, I probably wouldn't be that disappointed. It's kind of time for them to move on, probably, but no one's going to take them. So, I mean, no one's probably going to take Millsap either. But, I mean, Father Time's caught up with him, but he's one I'd actually would be upset at leaving. Whereas, I'm not sure I'd be that disappointed if Barton or Harris left now. Depending on what we got back, obviously, would be the big clincher. But, yeah, I mean, yeah.
So, Benji, save me, please, not Millsap.
Look, I think Gary Harris leaving the Denver Nuggets would break my heart. It would break my heart. This guy is Mr. Denver Nuggets, and I think he's fighting with Monte Morris for that role at the moment. But he is, you know. But the thing is, I don't want to lose him, and there are times I think maybe we should, maybe for the good of his own career, a fresh start would be incredible for him. All right, just for you, I'll say it, Gary Harris. Gary Harris, and listen, it would break my heart into a million pieces. I got that black skyline jersey with Gary Harris on it last year, because even though I was a bit worried that he was going to, potentially not be around, I didn't have a Gary Harris jersey. I had so many of the other guys, and I couldn't live without having a Mr. Nuggets jersey. So if he was to leave, I would probably cry for sure. But
this is a terrible Nuggets question.
You're hitting us in the heartstrings right here.
Miss
Milan.
I already said it on Serbian show. It's Gary Harris for me.
Easy.
Yeah, I really love the guy, and you know, probably he's the only player that have value, some value to get traded and get something good from him. So. You know, Gary, for me.
Oh, boy.
And for me is...
We definitely should not have let a Chuk on the show.
Yeah.
William
Thrill?
Yes. Thrill, I have no thrill. I'm not getting thrill from him, so... only drilling. Drilling my brain and hopes. So we're ending on a depressing note. Let's think of something fun.
Well, let's end on a good note.
Okay, Michael, please hold your wife. Tell her not to kill you. Let's finish on this note. Your favorite Jokic moment from this season. No, it doesn't have to be a moment. It can be like a Jokic stat or something like that, or just like... the vibe you got from him.
Are you starting with me, yeah?
Eric.
He scored his, he scored 50 points the other day?
50 burger.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like what can't this guy do? It's ridiculous. Like every time that we think that he's hit the level of like, you know, he has 18 assists. I mean, what is this man doing? Like the vibe is off the charts. It's all vibes with Nikola Jokic this year. Like, Adam was like, I think Nikola Jokic is going to have a career year this year. And we were like, yeah, we all think so. And then, this year, like, what is, I don't even know what to do with myself. Like, every game, it's just, you don't even consider whether or not he's going to play well, whether or not he's going to have a good game. It's like Jamal, you're like, is he going to be feeling it tonight? Like everyone else is like a question of like, are they going to be engaged? Are they going to understand their role? Blah, blah, blah. Like Nikola Jokic is just like, this is like a very, very legitimate MVP season. This is what this looks like.
Thank you. Mila.
What?
You have not been listening, little boy.
Yeah, I listen. You know.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him.
You ask me questions, I already answer them.
Yeah, so I know. Answer them again. Our English fans don't know that.
Okay,
English
no. speaking. We're talking about this season, right? But
Cookie Monster. Just say Cookie Monster. I know your answer.
Yeah, my answer is Cookie Monster. Yeah.
Cookie Monster. I love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Oh,
thank you, Milan.
His ability to steal the ball this year is phenomenal. He's a top 10 in all four categories. I think no one player is this season. So in rebound, points, steals, and assists, there is no much thing you need to say about him to, you know, everything around him to this year is incredible.
Thank you. Cookie Monster. Michael.
It's idea.
Michael.
Sorry, Eric, do we have Cookie Monster t-shirts yet?
Man,
come on, man.
You know how difficult it is for me to make t-shirts? Because, like, if I'm now, like, to the, like, we have too much exposure. I used to live this weird bootleg life where I could do whatever I wanted. And now I can't make something with Cookie Monster on it because I'll get sued. Like, the people from, like, you know, the Muppet, the Jim Henson's, I can't make it. I've thought about a million different ways how I could do it, but I'll get sued.
Put it out in Nugget Zero. And we'll just say it's Miroslav. And we'll just get him in trouble with that.
Okay, in front of the cookie. Call him the Cookie Monster. And then it's all done.
Done. Okay, cool. I Cookie Monster shirt right away, but I can't. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe I'll just put it on the internet. I don't know what I'll do.
Yeah.
Reddit.
Internet is a safe place.
For me, it's the 50 bomb. Or 50 bomb, 50 burger, but
you're
like
just
honestly,
Eric, Michael,
I'm not copying it. Hold on.
Don't be
can
shy.
I just say we have went 57 minutes without anybody saying yeah, Mike, and there's a Mike in this chat. And secondly, I hope everybody got on Jokic's 25-1 for the MVP, and that's all I'm gonna say.
Brad,
I don't know what to go for now.
50
was no. I think sticking with the 50 though was the fact that if it wasn't for Jokic, we would have been dead and buried in that game against a very, very poor Kings team who we made look very, very good, which is appalling. But yeah, I mean, it's just the way that he plays this year. He's just kept us in so much and not looking like he's actually doing a lot, and he just keeps us so. Sorry, that's not a comment.
But yeah, he's
awesome. Yeah, Ben, off you go. Tell me something.
We could say the 18 assist game. I mean, we could say the 47, the matching the 47 career. What was his career high? What I love is the second fan votes came back today, and I was really worried after that Lakers game. Because obviously it was on national TV and yep. The Lakers, you know, won. I thought it would really drop off. He's 550,000 votes ahead of third place Kawhi Leonard, so still in second place. So my favorite thing about Jokic this season is not necessarily a specific moment. It's the fact that he is genuinely an MVP. You know, I personally think he's won number one in that race. It's a genuine MVP season and he's getting the recognition, and you can see that with the All-Star votes because, you know, as a every single Nuggets fan on earth is going to vote for him as many times as they possibly can. But this is seeing the fact that he's got over 3 million votes already, that's all-round league recognition. And that, to me, is the best thing about Jokic, seeing that he's being respected how he should be. Because Joel Embiid, who is also having a career year, he's got a he's got just over 3 million as well. They're really neck and neck in this vote. So yeah, that for me is the biggest Jokic thing. Just the fact that he's getting the recognition.
Well said, my man.
So for me, as the comment says, 47, but not because of Rudy Gobert, because he could have easily scored 50, and like every other player, if they had something like that, they would keep going for 50. Jokic was like, nah, I don't care. We won a game. It's okay. No. That's why I love about him. He doesn't care about stats, about records. Although every week he breaks at least two or three records, and he's like, I don't know. I just play the game, man, and that's it. So thank you all for coming. This is just the part one. We will have a 5-minute break now, and we can. Part one out of four. Hold on.
Eric's came on. Everybody check out. Well, I mean, everybody's checking up now, but DNVR Nuggets. Winner's Lounge, the occasional Loser's Lounge. Very enjoyable content, even if it is at 5 a.m. GMT.
Come in, awesome. Scream at us when they lose, like everybody else does. You can also egg us on to drink booze when they do win.
Seriously, man, but those batting segments, though, like those batting live watch-alongs are hilarious. Like, you need to do more of them. Like, and you're, like, because you're ahead of the stream, you're like, oh, man, they've lost, right?
This has been incredible. Sorry, I love you guys. Yeah, we're so happy for this European connection. Like, it's so amazing to see that anybody. I mean, I don't think anybody in Denver cares about the Denver Nuggets, but the fact that the people in the UK, Serbia, like Ireland, you guys all care about the Denver Nuggets. You guys are all awesome. You have great insights. Makes me feel so good. I love it. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks so much for coming on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been real. It's so much to talk about all the time now, it seems like, you know, because obviously we're all in lockdown, so we haven't got a lot else going on either. So my thoughts are always like, kind of, you know, I'm sitting there writing notes today thinking, I know there's something I've got to be doing, but right now the only thing I can think about is the fact that we just blew out the Cavaliers. it's great. And look, we've got OKC 2 a.m. UK time, 3 a.m. Central European time on Friday night. And then obviously that will be followed up by the DNVR show, which we all absolutely love and enjoy and are there for. So thank you so much for joining us, everybody. It's been real. Thank you, Eric, so much. I know you're busy for joining us from across the pond. And we'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Look, we're going to play something called the Serbian outro here. I've never clicked on this. I don't know what it is. So I'm going to click on this first, and then I'm going to just go. And guys, see you soon. Here we go.
Nuggets Serbia, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Zvonce, listen there, like, share, comment.